Thank you very much, Sis and the band. God is good. My task is very simple this morning, to introduce the guest speaker of the day, as Pastor announced in the previous weeks. But before I do that, I would like to convey greetings from Pastor Walker, who has since traveled to the States with the family to visit members of the family there. And he sent greetings to you all. And I would like to continue praying for him, that his trip achieves that which it was intended for. And so today, really, and again, one thing Brother Benjamin mentioned, that we will be closed, the offices will be closed from the 23rd up to the 27th. I know there will be some disruption of interaction between the church and members, but allow us to do so that we can have that break as well. But may I just request all of you to please stick to emergencies only if you are to call that emergency number. Would you please stick to emergency? We'll appreciate to handle the volume of traffic that comes through that phone so that we don't get to attend to some of the things that can wait and get attended to when we open the office. And so today, the speaker of the day is Brother Reuben Kabwe. Brother Reuben Kabwe is our missionary in Tanzania. He is a married man, married to one wife, Sister Doreen, and I've been married for a couple of years now, 15 years. I think they qualify to be marriage counselors. He's going to say more about his wife. I don't qualify. So he's married to one wife. He's also a father of three wonderful children. They've been in Tanzania for 8 years as missionaries. And Miracle Life Family Church supports that work which they're undertaking in Tanzania. He's working for the Word for the World Bible Translators. And Brother Reuben is the director for the Southern Region. He has also started a church right there in Tanzania, in Morogoro. He is also overseeing the translation of the Bible into the local languages there. Right now, they're handling 15 different languages. That's a lot. Putting the Bible in the language people can understand. That's amazing. And this is what Reuben and his wife are doing. Isn't it? Can I mention this, that Reuben and Doreen are purely Zambian? Isn't it a blessing for us to be a blessing to another country like that? Amazing. Yes. Go ahead and do that. How I pray that more of us will have that burden, where we begin to look at the international world than just being where we are. They would have loved to be here, but they are there. And I'm glad that Miracle Life Family Church supports them. And if you feel like supporting them even after they have gone, after they have preached today, please go ahead and get details and support these people that are doing a fantastic job. And so with this, allow me to invite you to put our hands together as we welcome Brother Reuben to the front here. Guest speaker, please open your heart. Just open your heart and let it get used to a different voice and get what God is speaking to you today.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. In Tanzania, when you get to the pulpit, you have to say Bwana Yesu asifiwe, and everyone should say Amina. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Hallelujah. A sincere gratitude to the senior pastor Walker, who is not here, Pastor William and Benjamin, and the entire leadership team, even for you, for the support you've given us, and also for allowing us minister to you this morning. Before we go to today's message, I want to introduce my wife to you. It's Leah that I travel with her. So it's a blessing sometimes just to be with her and minister in her presence. So may I introduce my wife to you? Please. So Jerenia has been with me in a mission field. She was working before we went. And when she was resigning, there were a lot of words that were coming to say, you don't know the trouble that you are putting yourself into. So people advise her, say, your first husband is work. You don't know what comes. So don't stop work. But she had to put her work on the line for us to go out in the mission field. And she has supported me ever since. And whatever we are doing together. Amen. Anyway, she always doesn't speak anything. All right. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we are going to share with you on the message that I've entitled, Knowing God and Making Him Known. Knowing God and making him known. Do you open with me to the book of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 17. We are going to see that this chapter contains the prayer that Jesus gave before he was arrested. Just before he was arrested and be taken to the cross, he prayed a prayer. It was one of the profound prayers that he did. But being in Africa, and you being Africans, you understand to say the last words or the last wishes are very, very important. So if this be the last prayer that he prayed before he was arrested, it should be a very important prayer that he gave. And in this prayer, they contain some of the serious and some of the most profound statements for the Christian beliefs. So in John chapter 17, he started praying to the Father, pouring out his heart to the Father, and mentioning some of the profound statements that are found in Christianity. And as I said, being the last thing that he did, it remains as a will for the church. Because in Africa, you understand to say when a person is about to die, usually the words that they speak remain as a will for the people that are hearing the words that are speaking. We don't usually have written wills. It's this time that we have some influence from somewhere that people are writing things to say, this is my will. But usually people would say things. They'll say, call my children before I die. I want to tell them. And the wishes of the father, the wishes of the mother, or anybody before he dies, remain like the testament or the will for the people that are going to hear that. So in the same way, if Jesus prayed this prayer before he died, it is a very important thing, and it might as well be considered as the will and the testament of what he wanted to see. So in John chapter 17, we see that Jesus expressed some emotions and some affirmations. And he said a number of statements that are actually very profound. In verse 2 he said, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. So he was showing to say authority is in the Son of God. He said, Father, you granted him authority. In verse 3, he said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So he was affirming that eternal life comes only through knowing Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from knowing Allah. It doesn't come from knowing Branham. It doesn't come from knowing your pastor. It doesn't come from knowing me. Eternal life comes only through knowing Jesus Christ as the only Son that was sent by God. In verse 5 he said, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So Jesus Christ affirmed his pre-existence, that right before he came on this earth to be born, he actually was with the Father, and that is a fundamental belief in the Christian life. So he said, glorify me with the glory that I had with you even before the world began. In verse 17, he said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. And here he was affirming that only the truth of the word of God have power to change people's lives. Only the truth of the word of God has power to cleanse the lives of people. And he said, he continued to say, he said, Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. So Jesus was affirming his love and the desire that those who are saved through him, they are going to be with him. But when we go to the concluding verses of his prayer, verse 25 and verse 26, Jesus said something that was like a summary statement of what he was saying and what he came to do. And in verse 25 he said, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you sent me. Verse 26, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So he said, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I know you. And because I have known you, I have made you known, and I am going to continue to make you known. That's where we have taken the title of our message, knowing God and making him known. Jesus said, Father, I have known you. The world doesn't know you. But because I've known you, I have made you known, and I'll continue to make you known. He was about to be arrested. He was about to be put on the cross. In other words, his life on earth was about to end in some few days. But he said, I'm going to continue to make you known. What do you think the disciples understood when they heard him crying to say, righteous Father, I know you, but the world does not know you? He was declaring to them the status of the world, to say the world is in darkness, it is lost, in need of a savior. And that is the biggest problem that the world has today. There might be some other problems that we want to finish, that we want to overcome in the world, but the greatest problem of humanity today is that it is lost and it is in need of a savior. That is the greatest need of a human being, is that they are lost and they are in need of a savior. And he said, Father, I know you. I have experienced you. And I have made you known. And I'll continue to make you known. The disciples understood to say Jesus was putting a burden on them, to say if he was going to go, and he says, I'm going to continue to make you known, then it has to be the responsibility of everyone that follows Jesus, that he has to know to say, after he has experienced the Father, the next responsibility he has is to make the Father known to others. If you have experienced him in any way, the thing that God puts on you is that the experience that you have got with him should be used to make other people experience him as well. But the saddest tragedy has happened to the church today. That we come to God for what God can do for us, not for what we can do in the kingdom of God. We come to Him so that He can bless us. We come to Him so that He can enrich us. We come to Him so that He can heal us. We come to Him so that He can move us from one place to another without realizing to say, whatever God does in our lives, He doesn't do it for us. Whatever experience that He brings in our lives, He does it as a preparation for us to make Him known to other people. If He has healed you, He was preparing the experience of healing that you've got so that you can make other people experience Him in that area. If He has blessed you, what He intends is that the blessing that you got should be used that other people can be blessed also. So it uses the frame of your experience. Because the word used here for knowing is not like just knowing somebody to say, I know about President Sata. No. The word used for knowledge here is experiential knowledge. It's the word for experience. It's the word to say, I've been in contact with you. I know something of you. Not from hearsay. It is something that has happened in me. And that is what He said, righteous Father, I've known you. I've experienced you. I've had an encounter with you. And I am going to use that to make other people know about you. So whatever experience that you have had in contact with God, it was not for you. God did not heal you for yourself. God did not bless you for yourself. God did not deliver you for yourself. God did not make you rich for yourself. Whatever you have, God intended that it should be used as an experience to make Him known. Tell your neighbor, you are not blessed for yourself. You are not healed for yourself. When He came to you when there was no hope, when everybody thought you are going to die, and then the hand of the Lord came upon you, and He raised you from the bed where you were supposed to die, and you experienced the touch of the Lord. Now God was creating something in you, that one day you are going to walk and find somebody who has no hope, who has no future, who has lost everything, and you are going to tell that person to say, I had been in that situation before, but I know somebody who touched me. That person who touched me can also touch you. That's why God did it for you. It takes in a situation where you are moved from poverty to riches, and then you find some people that are struggling with poverty. You tell them to say, I was in that situation, but I had an encounter with somebody, and He did something in me that moved me from poverty to riches, and He that did it in my life can do it also in your life. So the experience that you have is not for you, it's for other people. Tell your neighbor again, the experience you have is not for you. It's for other people. God was preparing you to make Himself known. I can tell you of how God did that in my life. Because He also did something like that in my life without me knowing that He was preparing me for an assignment that is going to use what He did in my life to touch other people. I was brought up by a single mother. And my mother was everything to me. I've not seen my father. I don't even know how he looks like. I don't know whether he's living or dead. Up to today. And my mother was everything. Whoever insulted my mother, I felt like insulted me even my childhood. If you are against my mother, even if I don't know what has happened, then I was against that person. And I was growing up, I was introduced to my grandfather. So I had two figures in life, my grandfather and my mother. These were the most important people in my life. I loved them. And a lot of things I've learned in life, I've learned them from my grandfather. But as I was growing up, a tragedy happened in my life. My grandfather died in 1998. And he died in August. And the prayer leader that was leading that funeral service stood and said, God has taken this man. He has loved this man so much, and he has taken this man. And I started wondering, oh God, he's not thinking about me. He's just thinking about himself. But 2 months later, my mother died. My grandfather died in August, and my mother died in October, the same year. And again, the prayer leader stood and declared to say, God had taken my mother. And at that point, I couldn't hold it anymore. I said, this is a cruel God. I don't want anything to do with this God. How can he be so cruel? He knows these are the people that I depend on. And how can he just deliberately take them or love them more than he loves me? Why didn't he take me as well? And I developed so much hatred and anger against God. And I did something that people sometimes don't do against God. My wife reminded me even this morning that I went to an extent of writing against the walls. I said, God is not there. If he is there, he's the greatest fool in the world. I had so much anger against him. And in my anger, I turned against the Bible. I wanted to read something so that I can use it against God. And by that time, I didn't know English. Just like this time, I don't know English. My wife can tell you. I tell you in the evening, she's going to tell me how many mistakes I made of speaking English. So get me in the context. Get me in the context. Don't just pick up words. And one time I told her, and she was too much of a rebuking me of how I speak English. I said, Doreen, if I make a mistake speaking Bemba, slap me or rebuke me. But if I make mistake speaking English, why are you angry? So how many English people don't know how to speak Bemba? They don't know how to pronounce it. So I said, at least I'm trying than they do. All right. So I didn't know even this English, the broken English I'm speaking now. The only thing I knew was my mother tongue. And at that time, I turned to the Bible in my mother tongue. And I started reading the Bible to find something that I can accuse God of, because he is not a loving God. How can he do something like this to me? And I started reading and reading, reading. And one day I was sitting reading, and I read Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. Come to me, all ye that labor and every right end, and I'll give you rest. In my mother tongue, beautifully put than English you ever put it. And then I said, wait a minute. This doesn't look like the God that the priest was talking about. This doesn't look like a God that the prayer leader was talking about. Can it be true that he can tell me to go to him if I'm ever every laden and that I'm going to find rest in him? And the following day, I picked that big Bible, which I'm still keeping in my house, and took it to the teacher at school. And I said, sir, do you believe words that are written in this book? And he said, there cannot be any other truth than the truth contained in this book. And that is how God got me into the kingdom. He used the Bible in my mother tongue. It was not a preacher who came to speak to me. It was the Bible written in my language that I read, and that's what spoke to me. I didn't know that is going to have any bearance upon me or influence in the ministry later. But later on, when I started seeking God and how God would want to use me, God reminded me, said, how did you come into the kingdom? And I remembered clearly to say it was through reading the Bible in my mother tongue. And God said there are thousands, millions of people that are waiting, that they cannot hear any other language than their mother tongue. So just as you experienced me, go and make myself known to other people. And that was the beginning of our route to Tanzania. Said we are going to the Ministry of Bible Translation. And that's how we have been involved in Bible translation, translating the Bible in currently 15 languages. And I can tell you testimonies of how people's lives have been transformed, of how I can see what I experienced being redone into the lives of people. And some people can tell me to say it doesn't work, but it worked with me. They say, no, maybe it is not relevant. If it was not done, I would not have been saved. So because of that experience and the conviction that I have of what God did, I'm so much convinced to say it works. Other people say it doesn't, but it works. It has worked in my life. I've seen it working in Tanzania. A Muslim boy, a Muslim man, not boy. Again, that is another English. And the sister that was sick for some time. And he has taken the sister to hospital. It doesn't work. They have tried to do everything. It doesn't work. When we translated the portion of Luke into their language, he started reading of how Jesus was healing the people. And when he read how Jesus healed the people, he took that portion and went to the sister. He said, I don't believe in that Jesus. But through this small thing in my mother tongue they have written, it is saying there was a Jesus that was healing the people. And you, Jesus, if you did it, heal my sister. And the sister was instantly healed up to today. It works. A Muslim friend that wanted a way to find a way to get into Christianity, didn't know how to get into Christianity. He was afraid of other Muslims. We translated the Gospel of John, and he read about Nicodemus going to Jesus at night. And early in the morning, he went to a translator's house, and he said, I wanted a way. Then I read about this man that went to Jesus at night. I've come, I also want that Jesus. It works. But what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say there's experience that you've gone through. That thing that God has done in your life, it is not meant for you. God did it. Yes, you received it, but it was an experience that God was preparing you to make himself known. So what you have experienced is not for you. Tell your neighbor what you have experienced is not for you. The healing that you've got was not for you. Even the saving, sometimes we think like we are saved so that we go to heaven. God didn't save you so that you can go to heaven. If he wanted to save you to go to heaven, why are you still here even after he has saved you? He would have saved you to the pool, eternal security, you are going to heaven. But he saves you and leaves you on earth. Why? Because he wants you to use that experience of him saving you to make himself known. You can go to the dying world. You can go to a dying race. You can go to a dying village. You can go to a dying country and tell them you don't need to die in your sins. There is a God who saved me. The same God can save you because he saved you for other people. There are scriptures in the Bible that gives us light to say we have the responsibility for the world. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on each stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You are the light to the world. You are the light to the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We usually end there because we want to enjoy how God makes us new, because we think we are made new for ourselves. But that doesn't end there. He says, all this, the new, the making of you becoming new. He says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through Christ. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So he says, when you are born again, when we come to God, we become new creatures, and there and then, God gives us the ministry by birth, not by calling. He says, if we are new creatures, if we become in Christ, we are new creatures. All this is done by God, who has reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This doesn't need prayer. This doesn't need special calling. It is a ministry you have by birth. You are called to make God known by the nature of you becoming a Christian. You don't need to fast about it. You don't need to pray about it. You don't need to find counseling about it. You are all ministers by nature of birth. You might be a pastor by calling, yes. You might be a singer by calling, yes. You might be an evangelist or any other thing, usher by calling. But the work of making God known is the ministry that God had put on you by your birth into the kingdom. You are an ambassador by birth. Tell your neighbor you are an ambassador by birth. A reconciliator by birth. So making God known is living out your nature. But we have stubborn children that don't want to be their nature. They never want to live out what God called them. But God has given us that responsibility. We are born. We have the ministry of reconciliation by birth. It is funny that when you are talking in church, when it comes to the ministry, to the work of ministry, people need to do fasting, need to know what signs and see maps of certain countries to know they are called somewhere. It is not like that. The Bible is clear. Just by you becoming a new creature, you receive the ministry of reconciliation. Are we together? I said in the morning service today, people are busy arguing about the second coming of Christ, when there are people just one border that don't know about the first coming of Christ. There are people that you are going to go and preach LSE, and they are not even going to know you have preached LSE. But we are busy here doing all the homiletics and exegesis. When the message is preached, we go and say, yeah, that message was not so powerful. That one preaches what? There are people waiting. No matter how diluted the message you are going to preach, they are not going to know, because they have not had it before. And we need to take that. And we need to go out. Because when you were called by God, it was not for yourself. You were called so that you can make God known. Jesus said, God, I have known you. I have experienced you. Therefore, I have made you known, and I will continue to make you known. If we see very well in the Bible, we are going to see to say every time God calls somebody, he calls them for the people. When God called Israel, He didn't call Israel for Israel. He called Israel for the nations. But Israel missed the point. Isaiah 42 and verse 6 says, Isaiah 42 verse 6, it says, I the Lord have called you in righteousness. I'll take hold of your hand. I'll keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind and to free captives from prison and to release from the dark those who sit in darkness. So God made it clear to Israel to say, I'm choosing you, but I'm not choosing you for yourself. I'm choosing you for the nations. He declared it to Abraham. He said, leave your people, leave your nation. I'll bless those who bless you, curse those that will curse you, but through you, all the nations on earth shall be blessed. He repeated the same promise to Isaac. He said, just as I said to your father Abraham, even to you I say it, I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, but through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. He repeated the same covenant to Jacob, who was later called Israel, to say, through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. But what did Israel do? Israel thought God was for themselves. They created, they thought they were the chosen people, and they thought other people didn't know God. And they said, we are the chosen people. They called other nations dogs because they thought they were the ones that know God, and God was for them. In fact, the Bible says there was a barrier of hostility. And God said, no, this is not what I intended for my people. Can I tell you something else? If you don't want to make God known by will, you are going to make him known by force. Did you hear that? If you don't decide to make God known by will, because God did not say, Abraham, you are going to bless the people. He didn't say, Israel, you are going to bless the people. He said, through you, I, God, will bless the people. So if it is God that is going to do it through you, he'll do it whether you are willing or not willing. You better do it while you are willing. Because it is costly to do it unwillingly. And we can prove that from scripture. Israel forgot their responsibility. They took God and kept God for themselves. They called themselves a holy nation, the chosen people. And God thought, this is not what I intended for Israel. What happened? Israel was divided. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And what happened later? Israel was taken in captivity to the nations that they didn't want to go. Then they went in Babylon. You read the scripture says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we wept when we remembered Zion. They didn't go to Babylon by will. They went to Babylon by force. And there, Nebuchadnezzar put up the idols. And he said, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego should worship the idols. And they said, no, we can't bow down to the idols. They said, who is going to save you? They said, our God is going to save us. And when they put them into the den of lion, and they put them into the furnace of fire, nothing happened to them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, everyone should worship the God of Isaac, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. They made God known, but not by will. It was by peace. Because when he says, I'll do it, he will do it. Our friend Jonah was sent to go to Nineveh. And because he thought, I'm the prophet, I know God, Nineveh is a terrible city. The people there, the Bible says, no prophet went to Nineveh and came back alive. And he thought they are so much terrible, they deserve the punishment of God. So he wanted to go somewhere else. God prepared the fish. We should be praying. Don't just pray, God bless the people. Sometimes pray, God prepare a fish for some people. So that it can swallow us and spit us where God wants us to go. To make him known. And finally, Jonah went where God wanted him to go. But it was not by will. Tell your brother or sister next to you to say, be careful, a fish might be prepared for you. Sometimes I wonder what happens in churches. You know, I'm not saying it's good. When a church is so much concerned about themselves, they never think about making God known outside. You know what comes? Yeah. Quarrels start in the church and a split comes. You call it a division. It is a fish swallowing you. You go there, begin to preach. Now we are not, yeah, so we are going to move. They move from Ngombe, some go to Kanyama, some go somewhere. And wherever they go, they begin to do what? To preach the word. So you better go by will. Does the New Testament give us any confirmation or record to say you can go by force? Yes. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Yeah. Are we together? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witness. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends. By the way, the tense that is used there is something happening simultaneously. It means while you are being witnesses in Jerusalem, you have to be witnesses in Samaria, in Judea, and the rest of the world. You don't need to say, until we finish Jerusalem. No. The disciples made that mistake. And they, hallelujah. Somebody just spoke some nice Swahili to me. Said, Sema. So they made that mistake and they remained in Jerusalem. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. But the Holy Spirit came upon them and Peter, the mighty Peter, and all the group remained where? In Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. The reverse of it. Acts chapter 8 verse 1. He told them who'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. They did not go. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, what happened? Persecution broke out. Stephen was stoned. And the Bible says, and the disciples scattered. And wherever they went, they preached the gospel. And some people went to Samaria. Some people Judea, and some people to the ends of the earth. Are we together? They went, but it was not by what? We have examples we can learn from them. We don't need to go by force. Because it is costly to go by force. So the experience that God has put on your life, the things that you've gone through, they are not for you. God healed you so that you can know when other people are doubting the healing power of the Lord. You can step out and say, no, he did it for me. He can do it for you. God has moved you from one place to another of glory so that when other people doubt the power of God, you can say, no, I was at that place, but the God that I worship moved me from that place to this place. He can do the same for you. You know God to make him known. You know him to make him known. You don't know him to keep him to yourself. The worst mistake the believer can make is to know God and keep him to himself. The worst mistake you can make as a believer is to receive Christ and keep him to yourself. Actually, he's so big for you. You can't keep him to yourself. You just do yourself justice to share him out. Just share him out. It is going to be easier for you. He's so big that we can't keep him. But we come to God not because of what we can do into the kingdom. Usually we are coming to God because of what we can get. And when the preaching of prosperity came, and what is coming currently, I don't know in Zambia, but things are coming in Tanzania that are killing actually the body of Christ. Where people have turned around the message of Christ. Now the preaching is, come to Christ and everything will be okay. Come to Christ and everything is okay. So people come to God with an intention of only receiving from God. But that is not the message that Jesus Christ preached. He didn't say, follow me, then everything is going to be okay with you. He said, if anyone wants to follow me, he should take up his own cross. Are we together? Amen. Yes, it makes your life better, but it makes it better so that you can share him to other people. That's why he has left you even after you have been saved. It's because he wants to continue to make the Father known. He said, Father, I've known you, and I'll continue to make you known. How do you make him known? Is by portraying the character of God. Showing the love of God to the people. Some of you, it is just a simple way of telling some other people, I love you. And demonstrating that love that it all going to cost you. Some of you, it will cost you an extra mile. Some of you, it might cost you even your life. But it is the responsibility that we have as children of God, that after we have received him, after we have experienced him, we have the responsibility of making him known. If we don't take that as a matter of urgency, and if we don't see the Bible in that line, there will be people that are going to continue to die. It amazes me that Tanzania, just next to us, as over 24 million people that are Muslims. More than twice the population of Zambia, of the people just next to you are Muslims, and you are busy singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If you go and sing that song somewhere else, some people will just get saved by that song. Because they are waiting, desperately waiting for some people that are going to say, I have known him and I'm going to take the responsibility of making known. Have you experienced God in any manner? Has God blessed you? Has God healed you? Has God given you riches? Has God done anything in life for you? Then that thing he did in your life, like what he did in my life, was to prepare you to make himself known. You might say, I've not had any tangible experience from God. The only thing God has done in my life is saving me. Yes, there is no greater miracle God can do in your life than saving you. There are people that are dying. There are people that don't know that there is a savior. Like I said, the problem of the world is that they are lost in need of a savior. Even the experience of getting saved is enough to send you go somewhere to tell the people you don't need to die in your sins, because there is a savior who saved me and he can as well save you. They don't need to die in their sins because you have been saved. And can use that experience to make him known. Are we together, church? You are saved to make him known. You have known him to make him known. Shall we close our eyes and pray? Father, thank you. Thank you that everything that you have done in our lives and everything that you are about to do, you have done it not because we deserve it, but because you love us, Lord. And when we respond in faith, God, to share you, it's not that we are paying, but because, God, you have prepared us for the task that you have given us. And I thank you today because there are souls and there are people in here, Lord, that have been touched in a certain way. And God, you are going to use that to make yourself known to the world, to their neighbors, to their families. With people closing their eyes here, and everyone in the atmosphere of prayer, you might be in our midst right now, and you are saying, I've not had any experience with God. I've not experienced what you are talking about. I've not known God and I've not received Jesus. The first step in making God known is for you to know God. For you cannot give that which you do not have. You can only give that which you have yourself. And with everyone praying, I want to ask you this question of the heart. I'm not asking you whether you've been going to church, but whether you've had an encounter with God, whether you have experienced Him to receive Him as a personal Savior. If you have not done that, we want to help you. You don't need to go back today without knowing Him. And if you are here today, you are saying, I need to know God. I need to experience God. I need to be born again. Would you please just raise your hand where you are, and we are going to help you. If you are in our midst and you have not had an encounter with the Lord, you are not born again. We want to give you this chance that you can go out today a changed person. And then God can use you to make Him known. But the first step is for you to know Him. So if you are saying, I want to know Him today so that I can make Him known, just raise your hand where you are and we are going to help you to know God today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that time. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else that is saying, I want to have an experience with God? Praise God. Praise God for that hand. Thank God for those hands. Do not feel ashamed. This is not to make you ashamed. I wouldn't want to make you ashamed, not even in any amount of money. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that, because your experience with God is what He's going to use to make you and others know you. Church, can we all stand together? Can we all stand together? And there are a number of people that raise their hands from this side, from that side, and from this side. And again, I'm going to make another request for you. And I can hear me, I don't mean to embarrass you. I wouldn't want to embarrass you on anything else. But I want you to experience God. So I make another request for you. Can you just take everything you came with in church and come in front here, and we are going to help you have an experience with Christ. Church, can you give them a clap offering as they come in? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you want to meet Him, you didn't raise your hand, you want to join these people, you are welcome. You are welcome. Praise God, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorify you, sovereign Lord. Greatest decision that you have ever made in your life, having an experience with God, and you are making a new start with the Lord. when God extends his invitation to you, you have also to accept it. So you receive God by accepting him. And I'm going to help you by leading you into a confession prayer, but make this prayer come out of your heart. Because if it is not coming out of your heart, then there's nothing that we are doing. So I just want you to say to God, say, Father, I know that you love me. I know you sent Jesus for me. Because you love me. Even if I was the only person in the world, you would still have sent Jesus. Because you love me. Thank you for that love. Thank you that Jesus died for me. That he rose. And he lives forever. And his blood has cleansed me from all my sins. Today I accept him as my Savior. Today I choose to follow him. Today I choose him as my Lord. Help me to live with Jesus. And make Jesus known. In his name we pray. Amen. You can follow my brother here. You are going to go to a room. They'll give you a book that will help you.